The message you're about to listen to is a recording from God's Favorite House. It is our prayer that you listen, your life will be transformed, and you will be taken to greater heights in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God bless you as you listen to this message. Someone's knocking at the door.
Hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Let's say good morning to our neighbors to the left and to the right. Okay, so this morning we are looking at living the gospel. Okay, so we've been looking at the gospel and the fact that we should not embrace a gospel, that we should embrace the gospel, not a gospel, the gospel. And we went on, and I mean, we are continuing on that journey today. And today we are looking at living the gospel, how to live the gospel out. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians 1:27. It says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. It's interesting that Jesus, when he started out, in fact, the very first statement he made, arguably, when he started his ministry, was repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In fact, what translates as at hand actually really means is here upon you. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come upon you. Literally, that's what it means. Repent. Change your mind. Change your position. For the kingdom of God has come upon you. So when we look at Jesus' life and his ministries, his teachings, we see that it's centered around the kingdom. The kingdom. Everyone say the kingdom. And when we look at the gospel, meaning good news, what's the good news about? What's the good news about? The good news of the gospel of Christ is the kingdom of God has come upon you. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God belongs to you. You can now operate as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. Now, the kingdom or the country you operate in and from largely determines a lot of things about how your life turns out. It is the country largely, the what surrounds you, what are the thought patterns of the leaders of the kingdom or the country, what are the policies that have been implemented, what are the infrastructures that are laid down. But God is saying to you and I that regardless of the country you are in, regardless of the hand that you have been dealt, regardless of, you know, a lot of jokes around, a joke of a baby that when the baby was in heaven, every baby would come and show up. They would line up in diapers. As if they're in diapers in heaven. Anyway, so it's a joke, right? So they were asking babies, what country would you like to go to? And this particular baby said, I want to go to country A. Now, country A is supposed to be a very good, flourishing country where the citizens are proud of being off and from that country. And country B happens to be like a slum. So, of course, the angel in the job says to the babies that we will bring your request to him, referring to God, and then we decide. But where do you want to go? So this baby says he wants to go to country A. And when this baby was born and came out of the womb, this baby found itself in country B. And said, yeah! And tried to crawl back into the womb, but they wouldn't allow it. The point is that it's a joke. Okay, the point of the joke is that sometimes we find ourselves in countries, regions, kingdoms that we do not desire, or that as far as we are concerned, we are better off somewhere else. The Jews were under the Roman occupation. Even though they had their country, they were under the Roman occupation at the time. In other words, they were slaves in their own land. They were second-class citizens in their own domains. The Roman Empire had expanded. Caesar was thriving. So they were not in the place where they desire. Now, in the times of them, of them Daniel and the like, they were in captivity. They were taken outside of Jerusalem, outside of Israel, outside of the promised land. So they were also not in a desired place. The people of God have always traversed the earth as sojourners. The people of God have always walked the earth as not always liking where they are. Even when they were in captivity, they did not like where they were. And when they were even on their land, at this point, they were being oppressed. They did not like where they were. When they were in Egypt, they did not like where they were. Even when they were on the land, they would get kings that are brutal and they do not like where they were. So if you think that you do not like where you are, you are not the first. I've brought good news for you today. I've got amazing, amazing news for you today. So, people of God have always been through places, going through places that they don't want to be. I was on a flight from Costa Rica. I was on a flight from Costa Rica, and I mean, beside me was this white male, you know, guy. And we started talking. And for some reason, he got comfortable with me. And he was telling me his whole life story. Apparently, his whole life story. How he would do like this, hates America. And in my mind, I'm like, some people are killing hours, in fact, killing themselves to come to America. Here is an American white male saying, in fact, he told me that the people he dislikes the most are white males. And he says, yeah, I look like I'm one of them. So he feels that he has the moral authority to speak, you know, because he has his own theory of how the white male is the problem of the world. But the point is that, apparently the guy is a multimillionaire and was telling me how he bought a house in Costa Rica, how he's moving to Costa Rica. He's going back to the US, as I remember that it was my flight from Costa Rica. He's going back to the US to bring his wife. His children are grown and they're out of the house. And he says that the woman doesn't want to leave America, that this is his last attempt to bring her. That if she doesn't want to leave, he will give her some money and he will go and find himself a chuchu in Costa Rica. As far as he's concerned, America is like hell to him. He's carried all his resources. He's moved to a place where he can eat organic food, natural, breathe natural air, enjoy, his life that is remaining. Yet, some other people will give up anything to get into the place he is living. The irony of humanity. So, if you think that you are not happy with where you are, it's not new. And secondly, from the Jews to us, to this man, to everyone that has ever lived and will ever live, Jesus is saying, I brought good news. And what's the good news? The kingdom of heaven has come. That kingdom that is complete. That kingdom that there's no pain, there's no sickness, that there's no poverty. That kingdom where there's peace, there's joy, there's life. That kingdom has come. It's not the kingdom will come. It is not. It is arriving. Has arrived. Good news. Now imagine the good news. I, as a pastor, I've seen a lot of people that, I've gotten maybe a citizenship of a country or a permanent residency of a country. And when they get that document, a country they like, let's say, I've seen a couple, many families in Nigeria receive U.S. Passports or permanent residency. The joy they exude. At that time, it's unbelievable. I'm happy for them. I just smile that it's just another country. Only if we knew the kingdom, the joy we will exude. So when Jesus says, the kingdom of God is here, to the Jew, he was so happy. He's like, I've won American lottery, I've won German lottery, whatever country you think is... And Utopia is like the best for you. And this is what Jesus was saying. I have brought the kingdom. The kingdom of God is here. You don't need to cope with Caesar. You don't need to die under his yoke. You don't need to, which is why it's disciplining was ascending. His disciples were confused when it was going. They were like, I thought you were going to bring, you brought the kingdom. Because they didn't understand and embrace the kingdom as a thought. And when the Holy Spirit came, boom, they understood it. Like we do. They understood it. Behold, the kingdom of God is here. That's the good news. That's the gospel. Wherever you are watching me from, I know HQ is in Nigeria. People join us from all over the world. You may be in Nigeria, you may be in Togo, you may be in Canada, you may be America, you may be in London, wherever you are, and you are tired of the country you are in. And you feel that you are better off. Heaven is saying to you, boom, behold your green card or your passport to the kingdom of God has arrived. And that was a big deal. And it is a big deal. It's good Americans, even when they go to other people's country, they are very, they walk so confidently. You know why? Because I'm an American. You know, they are proud of being Americans, and that's okay. And Nigerians too, we are like that. When we go to any African country, you know, when I go to South Africa, I used to travel a lot for work. I used to travel to South Africa a lot. When you go to South Africa and you see a Nigerian, you will know. Why? Because Nigerian is the way he carries himself is different. Even though he's in another man's country, he's carrying himself because I'm a Nigerian. I'm a Nigerian. And the good news here is the gospel here is the kingdom of God has come. The kingdom, you are a citizen of the kingdom. You may be in South Africa, but you're a citizen of the kingdom. And it is the citizenship of that kingdom that determines how you walk, that determines your stride, that determines how you engage, that determines the opportunities you go for, that determines the opportunities you ignore. The citizen of the country you are in, and that's big. There's so much in there to be said. That's another series. The citizen. Anyway, let's stay focused on this. Now, the point is this. Jesus was saying, I bring you good news. And that good news, you repent because the kingdom of heaven is here. In other words, there is a manner of behavior and there's a manner of thinking that you have imbibed because of the kingdom that you are in. You need to change your mind because that's the root word of repent. You need to change your mind and come to the top. Repent. When you redeem, you buy back. Re before any word is to come back to the original position. Resolve is no. Repent, pent top. You come back to the top. This citizenship I'm bringing is of the kingdom of God at the top. Repent, for the kingdom of God is here. Change your mind. Change your thinking. Maybe you have been in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, right? You're behaving like a Jew. You need to change your mind, for the kingdom of God is here. There's a manner of behavior that will exude out of you because of the kingdom of God that has come upon you. Change your mind. So, here in the US, it is strange to see, let's say Nigerians. When you see Nigerians, the way they live, it's like they create another Ajegunle. It's like you're in Oshodi. And I don't mean to take any jab at any church, but some churches here, if you come to God's Favorite House Dallas, the only thing, we are back dark skinned. Yeah, but we are integrating the culture, right? But a lot of our churches, Nigerian churches here, when you enter the church, during the service, you can, like, am I not sure you're okay? You know, let's even leave that. Let's even not even go to businesses. Some, or even families, how lives are lived. People haven't changed their minds. For instance, in this country, you don't need all the money to own a house. In the country you are coming from, let's say to build a house or to own a house, let's say, $250 million. Yeah. build a decent house? Or is that, would I not build it these days? Okay. Is it 500? Let's just say 250 million. Build a decent house, right? At least habitable. Now, in Nigeria, for instance, you need to have 250 million for the most part. And by the time the house is finished, you will have spent 250 million. We need to have it from the beginning. But here, with 3% of that, in fact, some people are marketing 1% of that, you can, 25,000 naira, put 25,000 naira down and move into a house of 250 million. Then you'll be paying. Instead of paying rent where you will not own, you can be paying your mortgage. It's like you're paying rent, but the more you pay, the more you own. It's a different mindset. Now, if you come here and you don't change your mind, all you will be doing is, I want to accumulate 250 million. That's why when you see people showing training pictures of their houses and they are showing up, how much did they pay? But they change their mind. The point is this. There are things that are available for you in the kingdom of God that if you don't change your mind, you may not access it. So Jesus said, change your mind, repent, change your behavior. You see, when your mind is changed, your behavior changes. Have you noticed even people when they come back from the abroad? If I'm not talking about a fake life, right? I'm talking about fake people. People that are even sincere, their behavior changes. They are not okay again with power going off. They feel before, you just say, when power comes up, NEPA, they are not okay with it again. Because their behavior has changed. That's what happens when your behavior changes to the kingdom. The things you used to do, you do them no more. It makes sense. That is why sin is a now become a problem, because in the kingdom you are in, this is how we behave. Your mind has changed. You see, but when you put sin first, and people don't even understand the kingdom or what they are going to do, they think it's a struggle because you are trying to do things to please God. Supposedly. But if you understand that repent means change your thinking, which will lead to a change of behavior to be aligned with the kingdom that has come. The new kingdom that has come. Boom. You get it. And when you begin to behave and live out, live in the gospel, your life becomes exemplary. Your life becomes exemplary. So, go back to our text. It says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. Worthy is this, worthy of the gospel. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. So it is one thing to believe the gospel. It's another thing to live the gospel, to live it out. Are you living as though you are a citizen of the kingdom? Or are you living as though you're a citizen of the country you are in? So we are not just called to accept the gospel. We are called to embody the gospel, to walk around as citizens of the kingdom. We don't do this in our kingdom. Our Father, this is His will, and we live out His will. Hallelujah. So the first thing for us is we need to live the gospel with clarity. You need to know what you carry. You need to live the gospel with clarity. 2 Corinthians 4:47 says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. So that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We know what we carry. Live it with clarity. Because if you don't know what you carry, the world will tell you what to carry. If you don't know what you carry, the world will tell you what to carry. You need to carry and embody the gospel with clarity. And when we look around, people are just consumers of the gospel. Consumers of the gospel. It's not enough, my brother. It's not enough, my sister. We have to embody it. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come upon you. Hallelujah. So you are not just to consume the gospel. You are not just a consumer of the gospel. You are to carry. You are to be a carrier of the gospel. And the reason why we need to hear this word and let it sink in and soak in is so that we have clarity. So that it births clarity in us. So that we are clear on who we are. We are clear on what we carry. The reason people are trying to be another person, because they don't know who they are. The reason church A is trying to be like church B and everybody's copying everybody is because people don't even know who they are. When you are led by a person that doesn't know who they are, that just want to be successful or want to blow, then what do you have? You will have a system that is fashioned like that. And the beauty of this is that when people come into knowing who they are, their life changes. Changes completely. So you have to be clear. And when you are clear, clarity fuels confidence. Clarity fuels confidence. People just don't compromise because they want to compromise. People compromise because they are confused. Because confusion fuels compromise. Clarity fuels confidence. What are you saying, Pastor? What I'm saying is that you can't live the gospel clearly until you know the gospel deeply. You can't live the gospel confidently until you know the gospel clearly. So number one is live with clarity, which leads to number two, live with conviction. Live with conviction. When it is clear to you, then you are convinced that you can live with conviction. Live with conviction. People that don't know who they are swayed from left to right. When you live with conviction, you stand when others bend. So I was talking to someone I work with, you know, very smart lady. And we were talking about someone, and she said, excuse me. And she came back and she said, oh, that person is this, that person is that. Talking about the person's future and the person's life. Someone she has not seen here in America. My mind, I smiled, I was like, Meanwhile, this girl, Eshuka, you know, I'm like, Obonge, you know, pretty, you know, lady, long hair, natural long hair, you know, and all that. I'm like, so now, Obonge, but I just moved on. When we were having a conversation, and then she was, you know, divining, basically. I smiled. I'm like, you don't know who you are dealing with, you know? And then she had the confidence to tell me that she's a stargazer. She's an astronomer. She's a, you know, what word did she use? More like awurawa. People that look at the stars and divine for me. I smiled. I won't tell you what I did. but it was served in a way that if I didn't know who I am, so people out of curiosity, they've destroyed themselves. They say, hey, you can't, okay, tell me about this. Oh, tell me about my future. Oh, tell me about, you open your life up to demon spirits, kwe spirits. When you have the spirit of the highest, people don't know who they are. And if you don't know who you are, you'll be told who you should be. And I pray that God will set you free as you step back from all this nonsense. In the name of Jesus. That you will realize who you are. Connect with your Father. You live the gospel with conviction. You live the gospel with conviction. Romans 12:2 says to us that do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Don't conform, but be transformed. So the gospel is not a trend. The gospel is truth. The gospel is not a trend. The gospel is truth. And you see, the one thing about conviction is that conviction will cost you. Conviction will cost you. If you know who you are, it will cost you relationships. It will cost you so many things. People, there are people that will refuse you things just because you refuse to dance to their tune. Highly manipulative, devilish behaviors. You should respect people's opinions and decisions. You see, one of the things about control and manipulation is witchcraft. That's what it is. It's witchcraft. When you have a whole human being that is not a toddler in your house, and you want to control that person, because I know you're a Christian, I won't call you a witch. That is witchy behavior. Remember, in Genesis, God said to man, to humanity, have dominion over the birds of the air, over the fish in the water, over everything that creeps, have dominion upon the land. Now listen, if God just said to man, have dominion, it will have been abused. But God listed the things man should have dominion over. Do you know humanity is not part of it? Do you know you're not supposed to have dominion over another human being? It is witchcraft. Which is why I like the African culture. As the African culture, as much as it's a respectful culture, at the heart of that culture, we have respect that flows both ways. So you will hear things like omodegbon agbagbon mafidalefe, since we are looking at Proverbs in the tribe. You will see the Yoruba say things like shebeni onye. You know, when a Yoruba say, when somebody speaks to someone and says shebeni onye, now let me translate the first one. Omodegbon agbagbon mafidalefe means the child is wise. The older one is wise. That is how this kingdom was built. So old age is not the only custodian of wisdom. Youth is also a custodian of wisdom.
Uh-huh.
So it is the wisdom of the combination of the wisdom of the ancient and modern that builds a strong kingdom. That builds a strong kingdom. But we have people that have adulterated it to mean it's only the old that is wise. No, read your Bible. That's not the case. Now, when the Yoruba say, Shebe yonye, they're not abusing you. Shebe yonye translates in English as, are you not a person? Are you not a human being? But it doesn't bring out what Yoruba is saying. Eniyo. Now, Yoruba 101. Eniyo means eni enyo. Eni to niyo. Eni to leyo. It means the creature that can choose. It means you are a free moral agent. Your agency is individual. Shebe yonye. So when you are in a position, maybe you finish from school, you think you are confused, you don't know what to do next, and they call you and say shebe yonye. They are saying, Are you not a person of choice? You're a person that of free volition. You have been created by Eledai, by your maker, to make choices. Shebe yonye. It means that culture respects individuality and people's decisions and choices. But unfortunately, the supposed custodians of the culture today, all they want to do, maybe not all of them, is to trample upon the choices of people. That's not even in line, you know. And they use culture as a weapon, the culture they are ignorant of. Conviction is costly, but compromise is deadly. Conviction is costly. Shebe yonye, are you not a person that can choose? Shebe yonye, any tole yon, a die tole yon, nye. However, your nino, your choices have consequences too. But you should be able to live with the consequences of your choices. Now, myself, one of the things I learned at a very early age is if it is going to be, it's up to me. And whatever I've chosen, I'm happy with it. Now, if I make a choice, I'm very happy with the consequences of my choices. Not that all the consequences of my choices have always been palatable, but I am at peace because I know I chose it. I can only become wiser in my choices going forward. And that is what the consequences of the choices teaches you anyway. So like, if you were a thrive, the story of the Pastor Molake's niece or nephew, I don't know, I want to put that they put her hand in the fire. It's a hurt, it hurts, right? But that consequence will only make you wiser. So don't stop the agency of choice. Don't try and rubbish people's choices. Let them make their choices. They can only be wiser. You need to realize that conviction is costly. Every conviction has the fact that you follow Jesus. You can't say because conviction is costly, so people should not make their choices. No! The conviction to follow Jesus has a price tag. If you follow Jesus, there is a price you pay for following Jesus. People will mock you. People will not even like you. But guess what? These signs shall follow them that believe in me. So there are also benefits for following. Conviction is costly. But compromise is not an option. It's deadly. Compromise is deadly. Because when the world bends, the gospel stands. If you want to be different, you can't make a difference. If you will not be different, You can't make a difference. For you to make a difference, and your life, you are built to make a difference, and you will make that difference in Jesus' name. But for you to make a difference, you have to be different. You have to be different. Number three, don't just live with clarity. Live with conviction. Don't just live with conviction. Number three, live with compassion. Live with compassion. Colossians 4:5-6 says, be wise in the way you act towards others. Let your conversation be full of grace and what? And seasoned. And seasoned. You know what? You don't yell the gospel. You share the gospel. Compassion will go further than declaration. Because truth without love is just harsh. Obviously, love without truth is hollow. It's empty. Oh, let's just love ourselves. Oh, let it, and there's no truth in there. It's empty. But truth without love, it's just harsh. The gospel isn't just preached. It is felt. It is felt. It is felt. So, are you living the gospel or just liking it? Are you living gospel or just living or just listening to it? Is the gospel shaping how you think? In other words, are you repenting? And then shaping how you speak? And then how you behave? Don't just be a hearer. Good news. The kingdom of heaven has come upon you. I want to pray with you if you're here. You're like, Pastor, pray with me. I want to be a part of this kingdom. I want to be a part of this kingdom. We want to pray with you. Wherever you are, we want to pray with you. Your online friend, you're told them, we're going to do this now. Regardless of where you are. Except if you're driving. Don't close your eyes, please. If you're driving. If you're in the auditorium, let's give the privacy of the privilege of privacy. Let's burn our hearts as we kindly close our eyes as we focus and think about this. I want to give the privilege of privacy to those that need to make this call. I need to be a part of this kingdom. Pastor, can you pray with me? Yes, we want to pray with you. Only you. You don't need to come forward. Wherever you are sitting, put up your hand now and we will come and pray with you. Put up that hand over your head.
You're here and you're still saying to yourself, I'm not sure. Will Jesus accept me? Remember the one with the oil of alabaster? She was labeled a sinner, but Jesus loved on her. Jesus loves you. He's calling you. Pour out yourself. Pour out everything in you so he can walk in you. So if you're here today and you want to be like this person of Jesus, raise up your hands. He's calling you. Jesus is calling you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Raise up your hands. He's totally in love with you. Is calling you, is knocking at the door. Open the door of your heart to him today. Let him come in and live with you. So if you're here and you want to walk a new life with Jesus, raise up your hand so the ushers can give you a card for you to fill in. And if you're online also, please follow the instructions. The online pastors will reach out to you. Choose the way of Jesus, the way of life. Raise up your hands and it will come into your heart. Father, we say thank you. Thank you because your word has become light in our lives. Help us to walk in it. Help us to trust you always. and help us to believe in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Now let's clap for Jesus. Let's clap for Jesus.